Welcome to another edition of Story Track. I am your esteemed host, Michael Strategakis.
And I am Marshall Hopkins.
Yes, I am speaking to you because I have this amazing voice today that I will not bother everyone with for the rest of this podcast. But it is kind of funny, at least to me.
Well, we could use a little bit of humor because today we're talking about something that we're all a little bit tired of. Now, the reason for this is because due to the unfortunate, horrible, tragic global pandemic due to COVID-19, many of you have been quarantining for the sake of your friends, family, loved ones, or for the sake of healthcare workers so that they can focus their time on the people who are in the most in need. And you probably spent some of that time watching Star Trek because you had watched everything else. So you may have noticed that there are a few episodes about Star Trek that involve pandemics. And some of those episodes are really prescient or really tell us something about where we really are in a pandemic.
The real question here is, does it really tell us about our pandemic? Or I mean, it's a question of, does something that Star Trek created prior to sort of a collective experience actually speak to it that well?
I would argue that there is one episode in all of Star Trek that gets it mostly right, I would say.
We're basing this on the experience that we've all had, of course, with the last year and a half or so, whatever this has been now, as we record this, for everyone around the world. And pandemics in Trek go back to almost the very beginning of Trek. You have it starting, of course, with The Naked Time, mm-hmm. being one of the first episodes to ever be created, Trek. And then you have even up to the present day with the series premiere of Lower Decks involving a black plague of some sort.
A zombie black plague?
Yes. So we've had various incarnations of pandemic in Trek from the 60s all the way up till today.
And it's worth exploring those, I think, just because, again, the question is, did these stories predict anything? Do they tell us anything about our reality? I guess we can start with The Naked Time. The Naked Now is its sequel.
Is the third one called The Naked Then?
I imagine that Discovery will one day do a musical episode called The Naked Singer.
Uh-huh. Is this somehow tied into a Fox produced thing where people wear imaginary costumes hiding their true identities?
I kind of figured it'd be like the virus that makes you act drunk, and instead of just acting drunk, they're all doing karaoke.
Hey, that's one way to launch into it. Yeah, I mean, the real question I've had in talking to my co-host Marshall here has been, what is Trek trying to do with these stories about the pandemic necessarily? Because obviously it's not reflective of the current times because they were writing this before they existed. So the real question is, what was the impetus? What was the device of a pandemic? What was the device of some sort of viral plague, the purpose of it within Trek? And how much of it played out, I guess, then is the other part of the question that you've aptly pointed out. How much of it actually does reflect and is nascent to what we've gone through?
Absolutely. Talking about The Naked Time, I think that one is interesting because it does not tell us, I think, anything about an actual viral outbreak or a pandemic. It is simply a device to show the characters unhinged or at least uninhibited.
And I want to point out that of all the episodes that have involved a plague in Star Trek, and this is something that just bothers me as I looked through all of this, how little in the course of 55 years of Trek and dealing with plagues does anyone use any physical protection against viral outbreaks?
Well, if I recall correctly, so this episode started where they're wearing basically hazmat suits.
Right.
Somebody makes the mistake of taking their glove off.
Exactly. And it's the first episode that we see people who would actually be taking precaution because of a disease, pandemic, viral potentiality. And they're wearing, as you pointed out, hazmat-like suits. The question, though, is why is it that we rarely see any sort of protective gear in the future ones?
You know, I kind of... I guess when I was a kid watching stuff like TNG and other shows, in my personal headspace, I sort of figured that they may have had like personal shields on them of some sort or something like that, or some sort of barrier around them. But it turns out that is not at all the case. So yeah, I think that that is one accurate thing that the Naked Time gets right, that we don't really see it all in Star Trek ever again.
I mean, there's one episode that when you look at all the lists of pandemic Trek, it never shows up as a pandemic episode, mm-hmm. which is kind of funny because it's the B plot of the episode that I'm thinking of. And it's so, the episode has many problems. I'm not even going to start on the A plot, but the B plot is so badly handled that it almost makes you think the A plot is probably better. The B plot is, of course, the episode I'm speaking of, Angel One.
Oh, boy.
No one ever talks about Pandemic Trek and Angel One, and I don't get it. But it's also the worst executed pandemic episode of Trek I have ever seen. And that's, I'm just going to go out on the limb here and say it's pretty bad. In that you have a virus that's brought upon the Enterprise by Wesley Crusher and a friend, and it's not really clear how it's spread, although it seems that people are spreading it, eventually they discovered through a smell, an odor, and it's causing mass respiratory issues in people who contract it in the crew. But we're not really sure what the other, if there are any other symptoms, or what is causing them not to be able to cure it. There's not really much about it, but it becomes a huge factor, and they're unable to do this. We're supposed to do this. It's almost like somebody said, we need to have a viral outbreak in order to have a plot, to have a difficulty of why they can't beam up to the ship. Why can't we go to the neutral zone yet? Can't, because the ship has no crew to run it. It's just badly executed all the way around. And Dr. Crusher is like, not even sure. She's running around the ship, not even sure how this thing is being spread, taking no precautions whatsoever. And in fact, even after she sees it spreading throughout the crew, goes into Captain Picard's quarters and gives him some sort of like herbal medicine or something like that to his lips as he's coughing his lungs out, and makes complete bodily contact with his head and his hand. And here she is, the chief medical officer of the Enterprise, seemingly unaffected at this point still by this virus, being exposed to it left and right without any sort of physical precautions being taken.
This does kind of explain, now that you make these points, it does kind of explain why, and I was kind of shocked that they never attempted like a Star Trek medical show, like the Star Trek version of ER. And clearly the reason why is because nobody uses any sort of protective equipment whatsoever.
Yeah, I think there's very rare exceptions to that in Trek, speaking of medical equipment. I mean, the one that actually comes to mind right away for me is this episode called The Samaritan Snare, where we see Picard travel to a starbase in order to have heart surgery, replacement heart valve surgery with Wesley Crusher. And when they operate on Picard in that episode, it's the first time that we actually see like medical scrubs since the original series.
Right.
But they actually are like covering people's like bodies. And it's not just, you know, somebody, I mean, I hardly remember there being more precautions than somebody wearing gloves in the original series. That was about it.
And now that you mention it, after that episode, you do on occasion see Dr. Crusher wearing, I think they're blue versions of the exact same costume, their medical scrubs, but only if it's a surgery, right? For any other random thing, there are no gloves, there are no face masks, nothing.
Yeah, and I think that us having been through an experience with this about worrying about disease and spreading, I've seen nothing in Trek that actually justifies that behavior. Now they have all types of things like force fields they could use or whatever, but that's for when you're not interacting with somebody. Like, I understand you're going to put somebody in behind a force field and isolate them, like they do very often in Voyager, in fact. But it's very rare that we actually get someone using any protective gear. Now, of course, Voyager gets away with it because the doctor's a hologram, so we're not expecting the hologram to contract a viral disease. So that's kind of their excuse around the doctor not having protective equipment. But when it comes to Bashir, when it comes to Crusher, McCoy, Phlox, you know, we go to Discovery.
Culber.
Yeah, Dr. Culber. And then Lower Decks, the Doctor.
Dr. Tiana.
There's hardly any use of protective gear.
I will make one exception. I noted from the episode on natural selection of TNG. Dr. Pulaski does at least keep, I think it's a child who's of the age of an adult, because there's a rapid aging disease that has spread on this one starbase. And she encases him in this sort of, just looks like a skin tight plastic bubble. That's the one other protective thing that I can see that they use. And a big part of that episode was, how do I treat this person while keeping him quarantined from the rest of the ship?
Now, they kept and him quarantined from the ship, but they made such a big deal how the force fields don't work.
Right.
Force fields could fail. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if all these things are true and you're worried about those, even though we've never seen any evidence of force fields just spontaneously failing, which, by the way, means that if I were working in a shuttle bay, mm-hmm. and somebody just blurted out, you know, force fields fail sometimes, I don't know if I'd be so comfortable being in that shuttle bay with the space door open and the shuttle about to pop out.
Yeah.
Especially if I was on Discovery with an AI that was running the computers.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I just hope that battle stations do not include being inside the shuttle bay, because that, yeah, you would just be sucked out for no reason. I would want to make one other point, kind of a snarky point in accuracy, about the naked time. And that is the way the members of the crew behaved very much wound up emulating the way the members of the population behaved in response to the pandemic.
Yeah. Although we never saw anybody take over a nuclear power station or anything of that sort, and seeing Take Me Home Again, Kathleen, kind of felt like there were moments like that. Yes.
I believe that someone attacked someone with a sword at some point over the course of the past 18 months. Do I have evidence of it? No, but I believe this has happened.
I think it's a fairly plausible truth.
Not to offend anyone, but it might have happened in Florida. There was one episode that I did say, and kind of thinking about the way a public reacts, the one episode that I said that I felt got it mostly right was the Deep Space Nine episode Babel. And I'll spoil it for you. I'm sorry, it's nearly 30 years old, but it was basically a designer virus that was created and left on the station when the Cardassians were in control of it. And a member of the Bajoran resistance left it, and they're the only person who knows how to or where to find the cure. And this virus has been unleashed on the station as O'Brien is trying to repair something. And what this virus does is that it induces aphasia in you. So basically, you would speak gibberish. I'm going to give you just a little example of that gibberish. I might say, button top drove car flee now. Just a complete string of words that make no sense to anyone who's listening to you. And you hear their words exactly the same way. So this makes life as a member of Starfleet or as a functioning person on a space station completely impossible. And it also kills them. The reason why I say that this is so accurate is because of the way Deep Space Nine talked about the kind of emotional relationship that everybody had to it, right? Chief O'Brien is one of the first ones affected, and his first impulse is to pull away and say, I don't know, you guys are crazy, I'm talking fine. You know, he's pulled into sick bay. Dr. Bashir catches it. I think the most telling part was when Quark keeps his bar open and tries to argue against the lockdown that the station is under, that his bar is an essential business because everybody's happy and they need a diversion. And that sounded very accurate to the things we've seen lately.
Yeah.
But finally, there was Avery Brooks's great performance when he sees that his character's son, Jake Sisko, also has the virus. And you can just see anguish and helplessness on his face. And again, this is Sisko. We don't fully know this about his character at this time, because I believe this is still season one. But this is he loves his son dearly, but he is rarely ever helpless. And seeing him in this state, I think, accomplishes a little bit what the naked time sought to do, which is, we've shown you these characters when they're at tip-top shape. Let's show you them when they are in a completely different emotional state. And Babel does the exact same thing, but it is in that state of crisis. And again, there's no easy cure for this, and your doctor is infected too.
I mean, it's really telling that episode does play to that whole sort of pandemic plague type of storyline that you also pointed out with the naked time, and of course, naked now, which is basically the naked now Naked Time recycled. There's not much really to go into in discussing that episode if you already talked about Naked Time.
Not at all.
Not in this topic at least. But the thing that comes to mind when you look at a lot of the other pandemic elements in Trek is that these pandemics typically occur not in our principal cast. They're either afflictions upon the guest aliens of the week, or species, or another ship that the crew encounter. There's something that other people have had to deal with, and then they're tasked with trying to resolve or end whatever virus is issuing them. Or sometimes these are plagues that are very like narrowly targeted. For instance, there's that one in Deep Space Nine when they go to Tarok Nor or Impok Nor, sorry.
Impossible.
They go to Impok Nor, and Garak is infected by this Cardassian superbug or whatever that makes him highly aggressive and violent and psychotic, which, it's not too far off for Garak, but actually that he acts out in very violent fantasies and tendencies. And these are things that we constantly see in Trek, is that they're narrowly focused type of things. Like there's, there was the episode also I'm just thinking of in DS9, The Quickening, where it's like another gamma quadrant aliens are infected by this seemingly incurable disease. By and large, I mean, and then you look at Enterprise, and there's the whole, they use a plague essentially to explain away why Klingons today look different than Klingons in the 60s. It's all part of this genetic play, which is not too different from how we saw in Unnatural Selection with Pulaski dealing with that genetically modified child who actually exhibited an immune system that actually affected other people.
Now, there's one kind of viral outbreak story in Star Trek that is maybe the most unique. Now, some people love it, some people hate it. I personally love this episode. It has nothing at all to do with anything we've experienced during the pandemic, other than our desire to watch fun entertainment. And that's what this episode is. It's called Macrocosm of Star Trek Voyager. And
Yes.
Now, again, it's polarizing for some people. I loved it. I adored it. It felt like, now here's the thing. I'm not going to say that it's the greatest episode. It felt like a slap, like you had two or three different scripts and you just cut pages from each one and threw them together with some interstitial tissue. But this episode has basically the Doctor goes on his first away mission, and the Doctor is a hologram. Literally, his name is the Doctor. And on this away mission, he happens to track back a virus, but this is not a virus in the microscopic sense. It is a virus in the macroscopic sense. It is literally flying around, and you can see it, and you can try and fight it and avoid it. But
Or
these are
phaser
literally, you can phaser it, right? So these are
it.
literally virus things flying around like flies. They're largely like an insect infection. The entire crew is infected. Janeway and Neelix have returned for some away mission, and they are desperately trying to survive. And this winds up becoming Janeway as Ellen Ripley from the Alien series. And that is what I'm here for this episode for. She literally, okay, I'm sorry to spoil this for you. This woman has a knife fight with a flying virus, okay? That's how incredible this episode is. Run, don't walk to see it. Again, is it the best episode? No, of course not. Is it the most fun? Maybe, because on the one hand, it starts a little bit like this other TNG episode,
You're talking about Genesis?
Genesis, right, where two characters are gone from the ship for a while. Something outbreaks on the ship while they're gone, and they return where everything's dark, the ship is adrift, and they have to work their way through threats. Similar premise, but this turns it into Alien. And the aliens are bad 1996 UPN CGI viruses. Again, don't expect quality here. Expect quantity of entertainment.
Oh, come on. I thought the quality of the 1990s effects were amazing, man.
I mean, okay, so fair. I will say this, they don't hold up. And if any show deserve, I do think that, I know it'll probably never happen, but I do think that there deserves to be digital remasters for DS9, Voyager, and even Enterprise.
If anyone ever cosplays as a macrovirus from this episode, I'd love to see the photo.
I would literally pay you $20 out of my pocket just for doing it.
You hear that, folks? That's a promise. You know, the other episode, it's not part of the whole pandemic storyline, but actually has a similar structure to me as that episode. And I believe the macrovirus episode is written by Brandon Braga. I'm not mistaken. There's an episode of TNG called Timescape, also written by Brandon Braga, where the plot of that episode is that Picard, Troy, and LaForge, and I think Data, they come back and find the Enterprise in the midst of, like, having been attacked by a Romulan warbird, and they're, like, wandering around on the ship, and there's this stuff going on about time. But we find the ship in sort of this awkward thing where they're trying to piece together clues as to what happened. And I think that we were talking about the macrovirus episode and why I can't remember the name of it.
Macrocosm.
It's just that the idea that, you know, they're on a shuttle coming back to the ship. And it seems like that's a common ploy, at least in Brandon Braga scripts, is we're coming back to the Enterprise and, oh man, while we were gone, it's gone to poop.
Yeah.
And we're forced to reconstruct and figure out what exactly happened, which is actually, if you think about it, a little bit how one of the first episodes of Star Trek Discovery starts out. They come across the sister ship to Discovery.
The one where Stamets's friend was also a scientist.
Correct.
And their experiment
with the tardigrade. And the tardigrade was like this malicious killing machine?
Right. It was basically presented kind of as an alien malicious killing machine, and then it turns out to be cuddly and simply misunderstood.
Like a Horta.
Like a hoarder, exactly.
But yeah, it's that whole premise of you come upon the ship, finding it adrift. Oh my gosh, what's wrong? We get on board, find this thing. And actually, that's actually another, and maybe this one's considered a plague episode or not, but the Tholian web, just because they're slipping into like different space and they're contracting it. And I remember there was this like, McCoy has to come up with a cure in order to stop people from going insane. And it's not so much a viral plague as much as it is the exposure to something in that case. But we do still have the whole, like, people start to spontaneously freak out and go crazy, and they have to be buckled down and strapped into sick bay. And, you know, again, it does have that premise of stumbling upon a ship adrift and something's wrong.
Which seems to be, you know, a pretty... As far as setups for episodes go, there are worse ones, you know, and that setup has been played for obviously good and obviously bad, depending on how you look at certain episodes.
And your favorite July the 4th episode actually has sort of that setup premise.
Oh, that's right. The Omega Glory.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It starts with most of the population was wiped out due to a virus, and the survivors are those who had a genetic predisposition to surviving it. And somehow, without any explanation, they wound up playing out the events of a global war between Yankees, as in the Western nations or United States, and comms, as in communists, as in Russians and communist China, on an alien world with no connection to Earth whatsoever. How did that happen? We don't know. We'll never know.
Yeah. And then, of course, the evolution of it affects the crew of, which ship was it that was?
The Exeter.
Exeter. Ah. Yeah. And you get reduced to salt and crystals.
Yeah. That's a hell of a virus.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a serious consequence to that one. So, yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that Trek has come across the whole plague virus thing. But I it seems to me like more than anything else, it's played for other things. It's not played for necessarily as a message about, you know, the way people act in the cases of pandemic or viral outbreak. I don't think that's actually something Trek has explored in that way.
Right. I mean, I agree with that they never tackle it head on. I would say, though, that, like I mentioned in Babel, they do tackle some of the emotions that come about from, you know, having to go through a quarantine or a pandemic experience. Of course, it's not they didn't get anything, you know, they didn't get most things accurately, or you know, within a not even an 80th percentile. But at the same time, I do think like the emotional responses that everybody has that, you know, I it can be sick, it can be me, and you know, them struggling to realize that, you know, you are infected with something that is elusive and does not immediately present itself and doesn't immediately start making you feel bad as soon as you get it. You know, I felt that there were a lot of parallels. I would say not in terms of facts, but more of, I think general mood and emotions. I think that episode captures that accurately. But does any episode actually speak to our pandemic experience? No, there isn't. They're just
No.
parallels.
I'm surprised. Actually, one of the things I could see Lower Decks doing is some sort of story where, because one of the things you see again and again in Trek, and we don't see any parallel to this in our current situation or recent situations, is they come up with a cure to a virus. They come up with a vaccine to a virus, and it's just given to everyone. The cure vaccine is given to everyone, and there's nothing made of it other than the most you'll ever get is sometimes like Kirk will be like, "Don't give it to me yet, Bones." You know, but it's never that anyone, and I could see Lower Decks trying to tackle it, where somebody's like, "I don't know, Dr. So and so. You just came up with this like 30 minutes ago, and now you want me to like take your vaccine? You know, you think this is going to save me from this awful," and of course, it's some probably some ridiculous virus that does something stupid and bizarre if it's Lower Decks. But and seeing somebody like actually contract the virus while they're arguing their point.
That would be hilarious. I mean, we did already have our Wolf 359 truther last season.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's not beyond Lower Decks to actually reconstitute some of our current situation into parody, into comedy. And I think that, you know, this might be the time that Lower Decks actually is the Trek show that can best speak to this without it becoming this, you know, meditation on our current situation. I know Patrick Stewart made a point that season two of Picard, he wanted to emphasize to whoever was listening that season two of Picard should not be about the pandemic in any way. That said, I don't think any, and my opinion is, I don't think any Trek series should. Except for Lower Decks.
Lower Decks does a very good job of taking everything down a peg, and letting some of the air out of it without removing the core of it. And that's their gift. That's what they can do that, again, as you said, no other Star Trek show can do.
Or should.
Or should, exactly.
So it'd be fun if they, I at least in my take, I'd say it'd be fun to see Lower Decks try to tackle something like that. I think it's a show that's able to speak to those things that we can't speak to in other Trek, which is one of the reasons it's so great to have a diverse set of Trek shows, is that you know, some Trek shows are better to speak to certain things than others.
That said, I would like to see New Trek tackle more current topics without turning it into let that be your last battlefield.
I think that's one of the criticisms that we see again and again is like, how do you, and I guess this is coming back to the pandemic thing, how do you speak to current climate? How do you speak to the whole situation like with, 1/6 this year without turning it into some sort of bonk bonk type of situation where it's like, oh, we're going to come across a planet that's remarkably like Earth, except that this.
Yeah, I think that, and again, a part of my forgiving of those episodes of Star Trek was simply because you accept that they only had so much budget or something like that. I do sincerely hope that if New Trek, with their technology, their budget, their special effects, their makeup effects, if they were to do something, then yeah, make it a completely different alien species if you have to take the edge off of the topic. But don't just make it like mysteriously Earth-like. This is my imploration. Please talk about the times in which we live in, because again, I think that that is one of the best things about Trek. It was my Rosetta Stone to understanding world politics and anything about the world. So whether it's the pandemic or anything, I do think, you know, there is a way to kind of draw a line in the sand and say, you know, this may be as neutral as we possibly can be, but this is still where we are.
And do you think that when it comes to sort of viral outbreaks, the trick is sort of taking a neutral stance on that type of thing? Or is it taking a like pro science stance? Like, where does trick fall in
That's my thing. I mean, Trek
that?
is always, I feel like, pro science. You know, I think Trek is always lean towards trust expertise, trust knowledge, trust experience. And in the case of insane admirals or captains, trust but verify. You know, I do think that, you know, if there were a modern Trek show that were to discuss the pandemic at all, you know, whether you do, it doesn't even have to be a viral outbreak, just discuss the importance of trusting science versus the danger of not believing the science, not trusting the science, and saying, I'll let the chips fall where they may, and then regretting it within the last 5 minutes you have of life.
Right.
Sorry to get on my soapbox.
Is it more like a Tide Pod type of thing, and there's like a online social media challenge?
You know,
Yeah,
I oh the you're talking about the crate challenge
the
instead of
milk
the
crate challenge. Yeah,
oh yeah. I don't know where that came from. No one knows.
I only hear about them after somebody has a massive fail.
Well, I mean, that one, a lot of people would have massive fails. Although some of them, I'm convinced that they're drunk when they try to get on it.
I'm sure. I'm waiting for the day that they actually do a, they actually have a viral challenge that everybody is actually able to complete.
I'm waiting for someone to say that this crate challenge is the beginning of Parisi squares.
It is known to be a very violent sport, and you could possibly separate your shoulder just the same as you would if you went on a kayaking trip.
Exactly.
But I mean, yeah, we're talking about medicine and trek in this regard. Do we think that, would you feel comfortable having a doctor like Dr. Crusher operating or tending to you, given the fact that there's not these sanitary conditions provided?
I would be a little bit concerned, yeah. I mean, I could rank the doctors that would concern me from least to most. I mean, I don't think Dr. Crusher would concern me the most, though. But I would definitely be concerned about, you know, the conditions that she is treating people in. You know, she is not wearing gloves when she delivers these hypo sprays.
Yeah, and I mean, there's also there's what is that episode where Geordi has this like virus, this macrophage virus that like
Right.
stays in like dormant for a decade or whatever it is, along with some other people, and it finally becomes active. Shouldn't somebody wonder about contracting that virus when going down to the planet to even look for Geordi?
Yeah, no one wears any PPE at all. Going back to Genesis, where Worf is de-evolving and he's grown a venom sac
Right.
on his neck. And if she had been wearing a mask, maybe the acid that he spit at her, the acidic venom, may not have caused so much harm.
Oh yeah. I don't. You know. Well, I guess the original series, every last little piece of prop mattered,
Right.
budget-wise. I can't imagine that a face mask in more recent Trek would have been such a leap for the show to acquire. Which is sad because it seems like Dr. McCoy, or at least the Enterprise of the 60s, took about as much precautions, if not more, than most Trek of TNG era.
Yeah.
I don't even recall the TNG away teams ever beaming somewhere, you know, wearing something other, unless they were incognito, beaming somewhere, not wearing their uniforms.
Yeah, same with Dr. Bashir. He only wore anything if he was conducting a surgery.
I think I would be most comfortable with the doctor from Voyager just because he's a hologram.
Yeah, he's a hologram. He has an encyclopedic knowledge of all. That was gonna say, I was gonna say that's the one I trust the most. He has an encyclopedic knowledge of all medicine. He does not care about my feelings, only my health. And again, he cannot carry a virus on him. Now, watch the episode Macrocosm to find out how that happened, because again, you may be wondering, now that we've explained the doctor is a hologram, how the hell did he bring a macroscopic virus onto the ship?
One with puckery lips, if I recall.
Oh man, maybe I missed that part or blinked or something. I don't remember
It's
that.
a really like there's something very like bizarre about that macrovirus that it just kind of it's not really scary as much as it is like, oh Lord, I don't know if that's a really good look for that virus.
Yeah, no, I mean, you almost want there to be a riff tracks of this episode. That's
It's not quite it's not quite as bad as that, was it the one where Paris and Janeway become
Oh,
salamanders?
is it the not the nth degree? That's TNG. Threshold.
Yes. Threshold's that one episode where you watch it, and at first it seems, if you forgot about that episode, you watch it and you think, oh, this isn't so bad. And then it just starts to fall apart.
Yeah. I mean, we should maybe do one day like just the most unwatchable episodes, because that one's got to be right up there with Sub Rosa.
I almost feel like those shades of gray has to be there too. But anyway, that's for another story.
And these are the voyages.
Oh, Lord. So many things, so much that so much stuff that will not make the official Michael and Marshall watch list of episodes that someone checking out Trek for the first time should watch. And these are all great candidates.
As a matter of fact, on social media, we will provide you a list of Star Trek episodes to avoid, because we're not going to do a whole episode on those.
No? Oh.
But do you want to? We can.
No. Maybe
I
we
mean,
see.
I thought to myself, like, what, I mean, I guess you can learn things as a storyteller by, reading and watching bad things as well as you read and watch good things. So maybe that would be worthwhile. You can find Story Trek Podcast on Anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. And if you'd like to chat, tweet, or talk to your host, you can find us at Story Trek MM on Facebook. That's M as in Michael, M as in Marshall, or on Twitter at Story_Trek.
And be sure to tune in to the next time we are on this podcast. Not sure when it's going to be, but you will definitely see it drop in your feed once you are a subscriber.
So subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Let us know whether or not you like the show and whether or not you think that Threshold is the best episode of Trek you've ever seen. And we will disagree.
Not. I'm Michael Stratigakis.
I'm Marshall Hopkins. Live long and please prosper.